Welcome to the Tuesday mashup for what feels like the 12th time tonight, Tuesday. Let's see if we can get this right. It is week 19. It's almost like week 19 doesn't want to happen. For the listener, they have no idea what I'm talking about. We have been fighting with computers. We've been fighting with work. We've been fighting with just about everything tonight. We got two things in, and then a computer crashes. I tell you what, week 19, it's like the government's trying to shut us down because they know something good's coming.
Oh, dude. I saw a bunch of helicopters flying over today, and a guy I was working with was like, why does that keep happening? And I said, because I'm on a watch list.
We might all be on a watch list at this point. Either way,
You know what? If it ups our viewership, why not?
Sure. Well, we're going to see if we can't get through it this time. All right. Are we ready to fire this up? Are we ready?
Let's make it happen.
All right. Timer starting. Now, first one, here you go. Civilization shocked to learn preferred pronouns are becoming mandatory pronouns.
Well, who'd have thunk this was going to happen? You meet them in the middle, and then they say, okay, well, now meet us in the middle again, and now meet us in the middle again. And so now, apparently, there's a small group of people, about 58% of 15%, who think that preferred pronouns should be mandatory in emails and meetings and whatnot. And my argument is, what if you don't have any? I don't have any preferred pronouns. I don't prefer one or the other. So I would just put something in blank. And then they would say, well, you have to put something in. And now you're forcing me to be something that I'm not, which kind of defeats the whole purpose of this thing.
Well, I tell you, the guy who saw it coming was Jordan Peterson back in, I believe it's 2016. Here it is. Argue that amendments to the Canadian Human Rights Act and the Criminal Code would require compelled speech. This is what, you know, how many years are we later? 6 years. And it kind of feels, and I know you're about to hop in and say, nobody can see what Blockheads, I go, how many years is that? And you could, nobody could see it, but Blockheads has a smirk where he's just about to chip in if I chime in if I give him the opportunity. So fuck you, twos. All I was going to say is 6 years ago, Jordan Peterson stood up and talked about compelled speech and how this leads to a dangerous path. Now we're arguing about, it's like 68% of Canadians don't give two craps what's in an email. But like you said, 50% of the 15% that do, they care. Not even, it's just like, this is absurd. How is this even a headline in a news article? How are people reporting on it when it's just like...
Yeah, he hit the buzzer like four times for those of you who couldn't tell, but he was so angry that he was waving it around and the mic didn't pick it up.
Ah, man. Liberal Canada is an endless river of racism and cash.
Yeah. Another Tues headline, believe it or not. And well, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
I really got to know how to say this guy's name. So I apologize already. Laith Maroof?
Presumably, yeah. I mean, he's been laying pretty low since this whole stuff broke, so it's not like he's going to be correcting anybody anytime soon.
Well, the thing is he got roughly 130,000 Canadian to do a cross-Canada tour on anti-racism, right? Like to try
six
and
locations.
Like...
Six locations. Getting over 20 grand per gig.
And this is some of the things he tweeted, okay? A wacko indigenous house slave of apartheid Canada from the First Nations Confederacy of Educational Centers opens the Jewish White Supremacist Colonist Conference. I can't even spit this out. Hosted by the Zionist lobby PM Justin Trudeau at apartheid Israel to infer ingenuity of Zionist colonists. That's a bad one. Here, let me give me a
different one. That's a great one. That is an absolute word salad of racism. Like the only thing he left out was Mongatanians.
Here, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. He goes to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial with the giving a finger, picture of him giving the finger, wishing it was much bigger with the names of a few million dead. Oh my God. Dirt bags. I mean,
see, now that's brutal because actually, you know what?
Corpses of Eugene dirt bags. I mean, I'm choking on my own.
Canadians fought in Vietnam. People don't know that. My uncle actually went to Vietnam.
The whole point of this article, and I'm like spitballing all over the top of my, you know, when we recorded the first time, it was perfect.
It was absolutely smooth.
But you know, it's like we've done this twice. And I just look at this and I go, like, the whole point of this was to have a guy go across and do anti-racism, you know, this tour of like, let's bring some ideas. And I think most of us are just like, whatever, who gives a shit? Except they hire a guy who's more racist than anyone I've met. And he's just like spouting it on Twitter for everyone to see. And did they hire that guy? Yeah, they do hire that guy. Because, I mean, they aren't vetting anyone, are they, twos? This is the government.
No, well, actually, you know what? They knew about this ahead of time. Anthony Housefather, who's a liberal MP, actually said that he had talked to Ahmed Hussein, who's the Minister of Diversion and Inclusivity, about the fact that this guy was bad news. And this happened a month before the story broke, and still they didn't do anything about it. And then they called on the organization that he works for to comment on it. But the organization is literally just the guy and his wife. They've received something like $600,000 from the CRTC since 2016. This is the organization that is now
the first
running the internet in the next little while. And yeah, basically, like, at that rate, he's getting a buck every time he says he hates Jews.
You know, the thing is, too, is the first article you sent me broke it down really well, because it just said, like, if you go into this world, it's a cash cow. You just got to say, oh, yeah, we're going to do these great things. And the government is throwing money at it like nobody's business. And he exposed that. That's basically what it is. And the government didn't care to look to see who they were giving money to, because he was fighting racism.
Because they don't care.
That's right. Christia Freeland. Here's one that has caught a lot of attention, gets yelled at. And you think we're not going to agree. So I'm curious what you have to say. This is where we cut out the first time. And I'm very curious. I'm very, very curious what Tuz has to say on Christia Freeland.
I got two things. One, I think we're going to disagree on. One, I think is going to be kind of insightful. So first off, let's just go with the actual transcript of what that guy said. He said, and I quote, "Christia, what the fuck are you doing in Alberta? You fucking traitorous fucking bitch. Get the fuck out of this province." And because he's presumably like, he looks like a giant in the video, and she's like 5'1" or something. And so it's misogyny because it's a man doing it to a woman. And while he's not the most eloquent person by any stretch, I think when you think about it, you think about how Grand Prairie, which is where it happened, they've got two major industries. They've got agriculture and oil and gas, and the liberals have gone after both of them. And if you farm, you are a farmer. And if you work in oil and gas, you work like 3,000-4,000 hours a year. You literally live and breathe it. And this is someone who is trying to just cut out everything that you are. And then all of a sudden they show up in your hometown. Of course you're going to be mad. Like, they've been cutting the rug out from that entire area since they took power. And all of these divisive things that have been said and done over the years, eventually your chickens are going to come home to roost. This isn't him punching her. This, figuratively, of course, this is him punching her back.
So first off, I'm going to say, while when you read it off that way and it sounds like it isn't so bad, I'm sorry. I sit here in Canada and I go, nah, that ain't the way we talk to people. I'm not going to stand behind it. What I will say, though, is attitude reflects leadership, and they are reaping what they've sown. And so as a government,
and culture trickles down.
As a government, they have been divisive with the population. They sowed those seeds. And honestly, I'm not going to let the conservatives out of here either, because I watch our politicians yell at each other all the time. It's like, you model what you see in our leadership. And I don't really model a whole hell of a lot from politicians, but I can tell you this, the politician today is, I got nothing, no time for any of them for the most part, because they go into wherever they sit and they just yell at each other. There's nothing there. There's no solving problems. There's nothing. And so when I watch this guy go and do what he's done, I go, there's no way you can sit there and go, oh, rah, rah. And actually, the part of the video that really bothered me the most is as he walks out, he's got goosebumps and he feels great about what he's done. He just yelled at a woman and yell at a guy. I don't really care. To me, it's like, I just can't get behind that, Tuz. But I will say, attitude reflects leadership. And the fact that anyone could get mad at the man just shows like how unhinged we are as a culture. It's like, You are literally taking away people's livelihoods. You, for 2 years, you called a portion of your population fucking misogynist, racist for not taking the shot. Now,
fringe minority with unacceptable views,
right? Like, this just keeps you, and you won't talk to them. So what's going to happen?
Let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this, Sean.
Yeah, fire away.
At what point do you stand up and you say, no more? I will not move another inch. This is as far as you will go. Because there's a lot of people getting to that point. And I think that guy probably is at that point. And so you say, well, that's not kind of what we do in Canada. Well, at what point should that be what we do in Canada? It's an interesting question to ask. What do you think?
Well, see, here's the thing. But I hit a line and I went to Ottawa and I stood mm-hmm. there peacefully. Mm-hmm. And that is the way to do no more. I just don't think throwing obscenities, like what did he accomplish? Tews, what did he accomplish by going there and doing that? What did he do? Did he accomplish anything? He exposed again how the media will only report when it is in a certain way. But we already know that. And all of Canada at this point already knows that the liberal media, because they are bought, we're only going to say what they believe will help them. So when it happens against Pierre Poilievre, you listen to Pierre Poilievre's comments, he says, well, my wife, you know, they got protective detail on her. But does anybody catch that part and say how bad that is? No. And Maxime Bernier? No, because they aren't in the right sitting. So once again, the media just showing
Maxime
how
Bernier got egged bought last they year.
Are. Yeah. So how bought are the media?
Well,
bad.
I mean,
but do we want this happening to anyone? Does he accomplish anything by going there and doing that other than becoming famous for a few minutes on a Twitter post?
He didn't do it to become famous. Nobody even tracked him down at that
Why
point.
Film it then? Why film
mongoloid.
It then? Why film it then?
I think somebody else was filming it because they're like, oh, hey, there's
no,
Christian
come
Freeland.
On. Come
what
on.
The hell is that?
We've found, I think, one of the things over the last 2 years that bothers me the most is people walk
in trying to make himself famous, dude.
Why
be anonymous while you're doing it?
Listen, we've seen this in our communities where people walk in and film going into schools and handing in the papers and yelling at principals and teachers that have no idea what the hell they're even talking about. There's a way to conduct yourself when you're upset with somebody. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You can be upset. I'm just, to me, if you're just upset with someone, go be upset with them. You don't need to have it filmed. And there's no way the two women with them weren't like, I'm going to film this. I'm sorry. I can't get behind that.
Called it. We're totally going to disagree on this.
That's all right. That's the whole point. I mean,
absolutely. We haven't found a lot of things we disagree on yet, so this is fun.
All right, moving on. The only math Trudeau can do is division.
Yes, well, he sucks at math. I think the budget will balance itself, speaks for itself. Yeah, and so,
well, this
anyway,
is an article pointing out that Pierre Poilievre isn't the guy dividing the country. Justin Trudeau has done more than divide the country. He is the reason the country is divided.
Yeah. From the article, a prime minister who didn't know blackface was racist as a 29-year-old teacher in 2001, and who did it so many times he doesn't recall how many there were, which, by the way, is total bullshit. It's just that he didn't want to give an answer because there were some that weren't filmed. Right. And so anyway, Ledger conducted an opinion poll, and it said overwhelmingly that Trudeau, oh shoot, I gotta find the exact quote, but it basically just said that he picks one part of the country over another and foments division, often favors certain groups and regions of the country over others, which has created national unity issues. Does that sound fair?
What can I say about Trudeau? Yeah.
Nothing good.
That's right.
Although we did go 2 weeks without talking about him.
Hey, that's something. That is something. At this point, I think everybody knows Trudeau is the reason our country is where it is. Freeland's not far behind. Trudeau is at the absolute head of that snake, whether he's doing it by himself or having a group behind pull the strings. Who cares? At the end of the day, his words have been spoken. He's divided everybody. And now they're just, every time they get a chance with Pierre Poilievre, I mean, I literally just had on Jeremy McKenzie. He shakes hands with the guy and the liberals go absolutely insane. And you're like, this is funny, but they're trying to find anything. They're trying to pull at any string.
Oh, absolutely. And it just, it constantly baffles me when it comes to Trudeau, how someone who is just so goddamn lazy has worked so tirelessly to tear this entire country apart.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy who fired Lisa LaFlamme follows her out the door on a leave. He's taken time to go be with his family. What? Where there is smoke, there is a fire here, too.
So a guy by the name of Michael Melling apparently was the headsman in this firing. So Lisa LaFlamme worked for CTV for 35 years. She was the face of CTV News. And this guy decided to fire her without notice. And it just, the whole thing seems a little bit weird because you don't fire someone who's been working there for 35 years. Just like they come in on Tuesday and you're like, hey, guess what? Fuckface, pack your shit. Right.
I agree. But I tell you what, if I'm going to fire Tuesday, I might do that. Did. That might be the way on a Tuesday of all things, by the way, you're out of here.
Yeah. Well, geez. I mean, who could replace me? Right. You need 222 people. I don't know. Anyways. But yeah, the whole thing stinks as though there's something more to it. And it looks like it was just very poorly executed on their part, because if they'd have thrown, again, like we keep talking about how there's never any daylight thrown on any of this stuff. And while CTV News is a private company, they get a shit ton of money from the Canadian government. And it would probably behoove them, you know, in terms of being a responsible steward of taxpayer dollars. Yeah, right. But also in terms of just good business practice to be like, well, look, if we're firing someone who's been working here for 35 years, here's why. And if it's money, which would probably make a lot of sense, because I mean, we're probably getting almost as much traffic as they do. And they just say, we can't afford her anymore. And we're going to give her like a 6-month run where she can kind of go through some highlights and, you know, give her like a classy exit or something like that, instead of just being like, get the hell out.
Yeah, it stinks.
If you don't like America, you can get out.
It just stinks, right? Like, I'm just.
The whole thing. And so anyway, this guy, just the classic standby. I'm going to go spend some more time with my family. No, you just don't work here no more neither.
Germany asks Canada for gas. Trudeau farts on the idea. Here's an interesting thing that came out of this article. There isn't a single LNG export terminal in Canada. Every single liter of natural gas that Canada manages to export all goes to the United States via pipeline. Isn't that shocking?
Oh, our regulatory system's been broken for decades. The conservatives set it up horribly, and then they got mad when the liberals made it slightly worse. Like, there's a reason why things don't get built, and it's because it costs too much money and there's too much risk involved with that long of a regulatory process and that long of bureaucracy involved, because all it takes is one or two changes in government and all of a sudden your project's dead in the water. We've talked about this before. And so it's not surprising at all. But interesting thing is that natural gas goes for about 50 times what we pay for it in Canada in Europe right now, but we can't get it there.
Like, yeah,
just fill some balloons and float it over or something.
This is a blunder though, too. It's like a big blunder, because like it's a huge opportunity to like honestly help out a nation in the world and make an F ton of money on it. You know, like it's just, it's sitting there, but we can't get it there. So it's just like, well, you're all going to freeze to death, you know, as wood is going through the roof, as there's a lineup at coal plants now in Poland, as like, you just like, oh my God, this is like, I feel terrible for those people, you know?
Yeah. And like we were talking maybe a month or two ago about how I think it was the EU had reclassified natural gas as a green technology. Well, now that it's a green technology, maybe we should work on it a little bit, right? I mean, nothing changed with natural gas other than just the classification, but just this whole idea of putting ideology into governance doesn't work on any level ever.
I want to talk about comic books, and you're going to grudgingly comply. It was a Mark Ruffalo.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you really want to talk about comic books with me, we could maybe dabble into it a little bit.
Well, it's Mark Ruffalo shares an argument that viewers who dislike She-Hulk are racist and sexist. Here's the crazy thing. I actually read the article, like not the Rebel News one. I actually went a little deeper and read the other one. And it's misleading how they talk about that, I think. The reason why is because have you ever heard of a review bomb? You know what that is?
I'm not familiar with the concept.
Okay.
But I can guess.
A review bomb is an internet phenomenon where a larger number of people, or in other cases, a few people with multiple accounts, leave negative user reviews online. The target can be a published work, a business, a product, or a service, and review bombs are made in an attempt to harm sales or popularity. So what Mark Ruffalo was
talking... Why would you do that?
Exactly. So what Mark Ruffalo was talking about is on IMDb, which I think... a lot of us, you know, like I love IMDb. Well, people can go on there and make reviews.
I totally go through it when I'm watching movies. Yep.
People can go on there and leave reviews before shows come out. So what he's calling out is that people went on to She-Hulk and like destroyed it before it even been released. And so I kind of agree with him. I'm like, oh, that is kind of fucked up, right? Like, why would IMDb allow that? Like, that makes zero sense. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, I was watching She-Hulk tonight. You know, like, I'm all right. Let's see what this is all about. Is it a great show? I don't know. Like, the Marvel Universe is cool because they can pull in these huge actors into their like, lame TV shows, right? Like, Mark Ruffalo's in the first movie, first episode. And then the second one, and the Abomination's in there. And you're like, oh, this is really cool.
Tatiana Maslany, the face of She-Hulk, the head chick in it. Do you know where she's from?
No.
He's from Regina. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Just... And so if you're being racist against Saskatchewanites, I mean, that's a cause I can get behind. We don't, we deal with enough crap with the stupid Manitobans and their body odor. We don't need to get racism from other people just because of where we're from.
Homeless. Maybe staying in hotels in LA, what could go wrong? So they're putting the idea out that you could compel hotels. They've done the math. And I'm going to just spitball in here. There's 20,000 homeless and there's 20,000 empty rooms on a given night in LA. And they go, wow, we could give them all a room in a hotel. And so they're going to have a vote here over the next 18 months on whether they're going to mandate hotels have to do this. They have to give out at 2 o'clock how many rooms they have available. And then if they say it's mandatory, if you have a room available at 2 o'clock, you got to give it to a homeless person.
The whole idea is absolutely ludicrous. And it's being set up by a union. And some conspiracy theorists are thinking that they're just trying to use it as leverage for better wages. Like, okay, well, you know what? You just give us more benefits and something along those lines, and we'll make this whole thing go away. Excuse me. The funny thing about it is that this would be a notoriously easy thing to sidestep, because you would just look at, say, 145 and say, how many rooms do we have open? Okay, 17 of them. All right, we're going to say that one has bed bugs and that this one has a leaky faucet and that we don't have enough people to change over the bedding on that one, because it costs a lot of money to turn over a room, right? Like, people don't realize that, like, when you've got those impeccably white sheets in a hotel room, that is very expensive soap and very expensive washing machines. And then you're paying someone to go in there and detail it like you would get your car detailed every night. And so, like, it's not cheap to just have a room ready when someone stays in it. And like, there's no way that they'd be able to eat the cost of it. And so you just find loopholes on it, and you would just say, okay, well, there's maintenance and whatever else. And so it's this crazy idea from a stupid group of people that would be easily sidestepped. And I find the whole idea just classic Los Angeles.
Classic. Liberals announce anti-gang funding in community with no gangs.
Yeah. Believe it or not, the liberals spend lots of money on stupid shit. In Miramichi, New Brunswick. Miramichi, we talked about it before. Miramichi basically has one thing going for it, is that the whole town is employed by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police because they do all of the background checks for all of the registered gun owners in Canada. And so you've got a town where everybody except for the grocery store is employed by the RCMP, and you're going to give them $1 million in anti-gang money. And during the announcement, they were talking about what they could actually spend it on that didn't have anything to do with gangs. They addressed it in the announcement. They said, we're giving you this anti-gang money and you don't have any gangs, but here's other stuff it can be spent on.
Yeah, the fact that that came out in the announcement, I'm sure every reporter was like, this is strange, right? Like, here's money for anti-gang. Yeah, we don't have any gangs, so we're going to spend it on a couple different things. The looks and the crickets must have been like, what?
Absolutely ludicrous. It would be like announcing an anti-teeth fund in Edmonton.
Okay, folks, we had Tuz call in on, and we've been having issues as we carry on with this. So he's called in. Now we're on to Human Goes on Joe Rogan after you made me say it the right way and admits that Facebook censored Hunter Biden laptop story. This is Mark Zuckerberg, of course. And he basically just says, you know, we're different than Twitter. We don't just say you can't talk about it. We're just going to censor the crap out of you considerably.
Yeah. You can say whatever you want, but no one's ever going to see it. What I wanted to say, though, you said that I was foaming at the mouth. I wanted to talk about how we're kind of at a crossroads here. We got another one coming up, by the way. But this particular crossroads is, this is, I think, the first time we've ever talked about another podcast. And it's interesting because, I mean, we haven't really, you know, dealt, like we've talked about news, but we haven't really talked about commentary on what happens in the world. And so I'm wondering how meta we're going not to go to Facebook on things.
Well, I mean, Joe Rogan
talked about a lot of.
He literally is larger than the news at this point, right? Like, I mean, whatever he does is news at this point. So to me, to talk about him having Mark Zuckerberg on is news. And the fact he, like, basically, you know, is poking at him going like, well, what do you mean meaningful? Like, it's been downgraded meaningfully. He's like, and then he goes, you know, when the FBI calls you, you know, Zuckerberg's saying, you know, like, it's the FBI. And I agree with him on that. And then Joe pokes at him some more, though, and goes, so did the FBI tell you to shut down the Hunter Biden story? Well, right. It was in the same line of other things we saw. So you go like these big institutions have a lot of power they wield. And I don't know if we're going to understand here over the next little bit just how much they've influenced how things are, Tuz.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at just how many people said they wouldn't have voted for Joe Biden if they'd have known that the Hunter Biden laptop thing was real. And Mark Zuckerberg spent hundreds of million dollars trying to get the Democrats to win the election. So I'm sure he was fine with it. Because honestly, like, when you're Facebook, even when it's the literal FBI and they say, hey, don't do this fucking thing, you say, okay, come back with a warrant. It shouldn't be that hard. You're the FBI. Just call back in like 10 minutes and then we can talk.
Yeah. Once again,
I mean, I would say that and I'm just me.
I tell you, here's a funny story for the listeners. I got pulled over yesterday, just driving down a country road, if you can believe it. And a cop pulled in behind me. I was like, you know, I was doing the speed limit. It was the middle of Sunday with Mel, my wife's with me. And he throws the cherries on. And I'm thinking, was I speeding? Anyways, he pulls me over. He goes, you know, I pulled you over. I'm like, no. He's like, license registration. I'm like, sure. He's like, you've been drinking today? I'm like, no. And he's like, you sure you haven't been drinking today? And I'm like, no. okay, I need you to get out. Gives me a breathalyzer. And he's like, oh, you were telling the truth. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm still like, what the hell is going on? So I'm like, is this legal? And he's like, yeah, I can pull you over anytime I want when you're on a highway or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, you know, I got to check for license, registration, make sure that's good. And I got to make sure you're sober. And so I'm like, this is the strange, like, I mean, obviously I wasn't drinking, but I'm like, this is strange. Like, and then I drove away and I watched him and he followed in the next vehicle and did the exact same thing. Isn't that odd? I feel like that's gone.
Oh, really? You think it's odd that in Canada you've got police officers using arguably excessive vigilance on us? Have you seen anything like that? You should have just been like, I'm surprised you didn't bring the horses. Maybe it's because I can walk easily.
Federal response to trespassing allegations doesn't hold water.
I felt like this deserved a follow-up, and apparently Stephen Gilball didn't. We talked about this last week, about how there was a whole bunch of people, well, not a whole bunch, I think there was three separate incidents in Saskatchewan where federal Canadian bureaucrats put on their hiking boots and went and got some water samples from people's farms, sloughs, dugouts, whatever, without any jurisdiction at all. And so there was a few letters written to the federal government, and Stephen Gilball replied and said, no, it didn't happen. You're just trying to be divisive. And I mean, my question is why would they go to the trouble of making fake photographs of these people?
Yeah.
Like, there's literal photographs of the Government of Canada vehicles next to sloughs taking samples. And he's saying it's fake news or something, or it's just propaganda, Russian propaganda. Like, it's not a Russian flag on the side of it. It's a Canada flag.
Yeah, it's more to be expected out of the government currently. Right now, the federal government just does what it wants, and they
don't give a fuck.
Yeah, honestly, dudes. Like, I mean, it just continues on, right? It just continues on, and I come back to the Freeland thing, and I go, attitude reflects leadership. The more they do this, you think people are gonna side with Sean? No, they're gonna get worse and not worse and worse. Just like, emotions are going to run high, and there's going to be more videos come out and more, and they're going to try and paint everybody as everything. But it's like, but these things continue on, and they continue to happen. What do they expect is going to happen?
Okay.
I mean, honestly.
Well, here's the thing, is if all the traditional avenues for accountability are being ignored or sidelined or completely blocked off, where does it go? And it's a dark question, right? But I mean, it starts with some guy yelling at politicians, and then presumably it would escalate from there. But when you deny people even the right to just be like, hey, you know what? We found your people doing this thing. And he basically says, fuck off. Where's the recourse? Where's the accountability?
And that, I honestly, I don't have a good answer for. I just don't. I think that's one thing I can sit here and go, yeah, I'm waiting for something to happen that just isn't happening. We've been doing this 19 weeks. And in 19 weeks, there have been some almost laughable headlines about the government, about just like ineptitude, corruption, everything you can name. And there doesn't seem to be much recourse on it. You know, like
any,
we'll see as time goes on here. I'm certainly hopeful things will get better. I assume they will, because people are awesome and the government right now is not, and we'll see what happens over the next little bit. But yeah, this is wild times that he just, yeah, basically brushes it off and says, yeah, not my problem.
Well, there was this old, saying in ancient Greece or Rome or something like that, and it was like an insult. It says, may you live in interesting times. Buddy, we are living in interesting times.
Isn't that true? Well, here's your final one. Good news galore. Crop circles show aliens are tired of Trudeau's shit. And I'd like to point out, I think this video is old. I swear to God, I saw this a while back, but either way, it's still funny. You know, it's a plane flying over a field, and they've stenciled in, or not stenciled in, they literally Justin Trudeau sucks ass. I'm watching it again. Anyways, it's literally right in the field. You know, they've done some creative work there.
Yeah, I was wondering too if this was an old one or if I've just seen other ones like it. But
well,
this
is the first one I've seen
when we've been reporting on it. And you know, if it's an oldie but a goodie, hey, sometimes you just love the classics, right? It's like when Roadhouse comes on, you're gonna watch it.
How about the switcheroo? I found this, the Canadian heist pulls the old switcheroo. I found this one very interesting. The Chateau Laurier believes a swap of famous Churchill portrait was by a professional. So they have this old portrait, famous portrait of Winston Churchill hanging there. And in a 12-day span from Christmas to, you know, what is that? Early January, January 6th, they all of a sudden have... it's been removed and a fake has been put in its spot. And that's, you know, probably have a bloody movie on this.
Well, anytime you see a picture of Winston Churchill, I think it's pretty much this picture, right? And this is so cool. Okay. Here's the other crossroads that we're at as a weekly show. I say we cover every heist we hear about.
Sure. We'll give some publicity to the villain, the criminal who's smart enough to sneak away with a Winston Churchill. I mean, that is newsworthy.
Yeah, in Ottawa, no less. Screw those bastards. I mean, they're all wonderful people. But yeah, so I don't know, broad daylight, middle of the night, whatever it was, somebody went into the lobby of a hotel, switched out a giant freaking picture
and didn't get
caught. A copy, and nobody noticed for months, and then they had to go back, and then they went through like tourist photos of people standing with the photo, and then they could tell from the photos that when it the window that it had been switched on, but nobody noticed until now, and it happened over Christmas.
Yeah, isn't that
well done? Again, that's well done. Perfect execution.
I agree. Here's your final one. Uber finally allowed in New York, and good things start to happen. Uber driver saves a bunch of people from a burning fire. Like, imagine being in an Uber. You're on your way to the airport and the driver goes, "Hey, can we pull over? There's a fire right there. I think they might need our help."
I think it's wonderful. And it's not the kind of thing you'd expect to hear about in New York City, where everybody just, I guess, spits on you and smells like garbage. I've never been, but I haven't heard many awesome things, unless you run into Keanu Reeves or some shit like that. Right. But yeah, so this is great. I was thinking, though, you know, as much as I said in the headline, I was kind of just poking fun at, you know, opening up markets. But in New York, the most somebody ever paid for the right to drive a cab in New York was $250,000. And when you think about it, if someone just paid $250,000 to be able to drive that cab, they're not pulling over for nothing. And so... anyways, just random thought, but I still thought it was great that dude went in and saved two people. And also just the fact that the chick who was getting the ride at the time was very honest about the fact that she was just screaming when it was happening. And I thought that was a fun, honest way to tell the story. You know, because you think like you're being interviewed in New York, you'd probably want to be like, "Oh yeah, well, I was doing my best to just make sure that people were at a safe distance," or something like that. She's like, "No, I was just screaming."
Well, I've this has been a week of trials and tribulations. I think we've had our fair share of technical difficulties, and I was just thinking, you know, like, apologize to all the listeners because we didn't do. You know, I had all these grand visions of leading off the show with you know, "Hey, these are some of the texts we've had come in about, you know, about the show and this and that." And I had a guy from Ontario send me a voice recording and everything else. And I...
Dude, do you have it queued up?
No, I don't, because all this shit just keeps failing on me. And so what I'm going to do for the man, listen, he's still listening. I'm going to say, give it week 20, we will do it right off the hop. We've had nothing but Sean wanting to throw his mic across the floor tonight, and I still got to edit this sucker and put it out. So, no, we're not going to do it this week. I apologize. I don't like to apologize for many things, but that one I will, because I was having a lot of fun with it. But this week has caused some issues, and
we had a lot of roadblocks thrown at this particular episode all when we went to record.
Yeah, like it's just like
you're doing this.
Like I just, anyways, the listener, you're awesome. Twos, thanks for hopping in as always, and we'll catch up to you next week, good sir.
Sounds good. See you then.